Let me start with this little joke. There was this mum, and unfortunately, she came home, and there was an intruder in her home, and she was a Christian mum, and she yelled out, Acts 2:38, and which is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And the intruder just stopped there and didn't move. It was all dark. So she called the police. The police came, and they said, why haven't you moved? And he said, she's got an axe and 2:38s. There you go. It's good to know your scripture. So you can try. Yes? All right. Let's just pray. Lord, we just want to honor you first and foremost. And, of course, we want to honor all the mums this Mother's Day. Lord, I just pray this message would really be primarily for the mums. But I do pray your word would speak to us all. So just these next few moments, we just put ourselves in the position to receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. I recently read an article on the value of some of the rich people in our nation, the value. And there was lines that said things like this: his value is 500 million Australian dollars. And I'm thinking, you know what, the reality is his checkbook's worth $500 million. Doesn't necessarily mean he knows how much he's actually worth. Just the last few days I've been teaching Hannah money, which has been really funny. And I'm sure every kid does this. I lined up all the coins and I said, Hannah, which one is worth the most? And of course they point to the 50-cent piece because it's the big one. And after just doing some maths and things like that, she was confused why the little gold one is worth lots of silver ones. And so we're trying to get that through. But we live in a world that, unfortunately, its value system, I believe, in many times is just so warped. Unfortunately, you know what? We've got paintings in the world right now, pieces of art that are deemed priceless. Yet, in India, you can sell your daughter for 40 bucks. And so we've got this whole messed up system. We think many times our value is dictated by what size TV we got, what brand sunglasses you wear, and if you're from Darwin, there's a really good chance you're wearing fake Ray-Bans that you got from Bali. Many people think their value is based on the suburb they live in, and which I think is a real shame. And as I was preparing this, I really believe, and just as I was showing Hannah money, I really felt God was just saying, there's so many people, and especially a lot of the time mums, and you know what? They don't know their actual value. They don't know what they're actually worth, and sometimes they just pick the wrong coin, yet God's saying, listen, you're priceless, you're precious. I know many, many times I talk with people that struggle with their own self-esteem or their own confidence or feel they're not great or feel they're not fantastic, and I just really pray this message would wash over, especially you mums, but all of us if we've battled with the value of who we are. Just want to clarify, I'm embarrassed how many theological debates I've had with people about can women lead in church, can they wear makeup, and I'm just like, no wonder sometimes the mums feel like and the women feel like they're just devalued. Just to clarify, I want to say this, a lot of the stuff that Peter and Paul had to say about women and church was what Peter and Paul had to say. And in fact, Paul even once says, hey, judge for yourselves. And I'm making a judgment here. And in the culture of the day, so I want to clarify two things. One, we were told that women should be silent in church. Now, I want you to know the context of that. This isn't my message. This is just to smash that. So if you're thinking, oh, man, yeah, I've read that. Do you know, in the culture and the geography of where they were at, women were unfortunately uneducated of the day. And men and women would sit separate. This would be the men's section, the women's section. And it was beautiful, in fact, that the gospel was inclusive of both people that they were in there. But what would happen is history would tell us that the preacher and Paul would be out there preaching, and a woman would stand up and yell out to her husband while church is going, what does that mean? And Paul says, listen, hey, listen, be silent, go home, talk to your husband. Okay. Now, thankfully, we live in a day and age now where women are educated, women are very clever, and we're not going to hold back women from being silent. We want them not to be silent in church, yes? Okay? But please, anyone, male, female, child, please don't get up and yell out, what does that mean? Okay? So understand that's one. And then secondly, the other one that I've heard, and again, I just feel like, oh, seriously, man, people want to debate this stuff. And I say, well, you shouldn't shave your head, or you make sure you cover your head, and people don't want to accept those bits, but they want to accept these bits. But it says, we get told that the women should cover their head, they shouldn't wear jewelry to church and makeup. And I want you to understand, again, for the culture, that these women, their whole status was based on what colour threads they were wearing and how many jewels they were wearing. So they would come to church with status and look at me, I've got gold, I've got bling and bling. And Paul was saying to them, don't let that be what makes you come into the house of God. That's not how God values us. So you understand, be modest. Get that stuff all off and put your focus on Jesus. It would be the same today, and unfortunately we do see this in some regions. People think by what color clothes they wear or what brand suit they got, they think that that's how God's blessed them. Now the reality is God wants the focus to be on Him and Him alone, not on our clothes. You know, already a couple of us say, oh, nice shirt, Troy. And I go, I got it from Bali. I think it's real. I don't know. I think it's genuine. But we don't want that to be there. So I want to let you know, ladies, you're welcome to wear jewelry and makeup to church. And you don't have to be silent. But one, please don't get up and yell out, what does he mean? And two, please don't think that by your jewelry or the way you've painted the wagon today that you will be recognized. Isn't that the saying? Paint that way. If the wagon needs painting, paint it. It's okay. All right. Now, let's move on. Today for everyone, because you're probably thinking, well, I don't care about makeup. I certainly don't. But you know what? I want us to focus on what the value he sees us. Yes? Okay. I want every person to know that, I honestly mean this, that you're precious and amazing to him. I couldn't do this, especially without some of the mums. I know my wife, she's up there. I couldn't do it without some of the precious mums in this place. But every person is unconditionally loved by God. And so as I was preparing this, I felt God led me to this passage. And this is a passage that's normally really shared in the area of giving. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Let me give you a bit of light there. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus is with his disciples, and it says this, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came in and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on. I just feel God really wants to share a couple of keys out of there, a couple of things that just were brought to light. And honestly, in terms of giving, this is a beautiful passage. If you're a giver, in God's eyes, it's the heart. It's not how much you give, okay? Someone could give $5 here, but it means more to him than someone that brings $500. But I want to say this, three things, especially for mums. One, Jesus is watching you. Now, don't mean that in a scary way, I'm watching you. I mean this in a way, I see you when others don't. He sees you. He watched these people give. He watched this widow. He says, I'm watching your life. I see what you give up, mums. I see what no one else sees. I hear your prayers. I see your tears. I'm with you. I see what you give. I see what you give up. I see more than what others see, is God is saying to us, especially mums. He sees more than what everyone else sees. Most people saw a couple of coins when this lady gave. Okay? Honestly, that's what most people would have seen. If you were watching the situation, if you were observing it, most people would have said the widow gave a few cents, but Jesus sees the story behind the coins. Okay? Most mums, we see you, but Jesus actually knows the story behind you as well. He says, I know you, I know your story. He sees you. You know, I can only speak on my journey, but I remember with Hannah and Isaac in those first few months, what it costs for a mum to bring a child up. I know in those 9 months even, carrying those babies, what it costs a mum. And us guys get pretty good. We just hold hands. It's all good. Come on. It's all good. Get up. We got it pretty tough, I reckon. But I know the countless times that I slept through the night and I say, how did you go? Oh, I was up at 11, 2, 5, and, 7:30, whatever, right? That was if it was a normal night. And from memory, Hannah had very few normal nights. It wasn't like that, wasn't it, Nicka? Isaac, he's been easy. You just put him to sleep, he sleeps. But I know I would sleep comfortably, go to work the next day, but Jesus knows what mums do. Jesus knows everything that you've done, mum. There's a beautiful verse. It was in the context of helping others, but it certainly could be applied to this situation. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. Let's put it in the context of mums. God is not unjust, mother. He will not forget your work and the love that you've shown your children and have helped your children and continue to help them. He will not forget. I think sometimes you've got to cling on to that because I know I wish I was the perfect husband, but there's so many times when I don't see what my wife sees. And I know there's times when my wife thinks I'm a mind reader and should just be able to decode. Sometimes I can't. Is that true? All the guys go, yeah, it's like, why didn't you just tell me? Why did we have to go through that? Why couldn't you just said, I need that? I didn't get it. But he sees that and he knows that. One thing I want you to lock into your system, and for all of us, is he doesn't forget. He's watching your life. He sees everything in your life. He is watching you. I know we forget. I know sons and daughters forget. I know friends forget. I know fathers forget, but I promise you one person that will not forget, and that is God. Yes? Secondly, one, he sees everything. He's watching you. Secondly, God values things differently to the way we do. Okay, it was very clear. It's crazy maths. Tell that to a bunch of uni students that wads of cash is worth less than a few cents. But God's economy is different. And the way he looks at our lives is different. Does God look at the lady with perfect hair and a perfect smile? Or does he look at the mum in the background that just got her 3 kids to church this morning? Does God look at the crazy preacher that needs a haircut with, with the microphone?
What
does that mean? Talk to your wife in your home, mate. Does he look at me, the guy who's got the mic, or does he look at the mum that was up at 5 a.m. or whatever, the one that was doing stuff in the background, the ones that are looking after our kids right now, the ones that are out there, maybe, I know there's a lot of the mums are in here, and maybe some of the young champions have just released you, but there might be a mum out there trying to listen to a message through the noise of 15 kids screaming and trying to wrestle for the cars. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this, and it's talking about, I'm not going to read it, I'll just put in its context, is God is saying that the body of Christ, the family, the church is like a body, and each part is unique. And we're not going to all be mouthpieces, we're not all going to be hands, we're all going to be something, and God values those things. And in fact, if everyone was... Sorry about the mic there, Dan. I think it's good. If all of us were just preachers, then no one would be out there. If all of us were just doing the same, all of us were musicians, well, no one would be out there being able to worship. But God says we all play a part. What he then goes on to say, you can read it for yourself though, is he says, normally we give honor to me and to the guitarist and the upfront dude. But the reality is, he says, you should be giving more honor to the parts that we don't even recognize, that we don't see. For all I know, there's mums in here that were praying this week behind the scenes when no one was looking that God would be moving. Yeah? Some of you are going, yeah, that was me. God looks at those things and says, these are things that we've got to honor. Mothers, God values you. We need you. He needs you. You're priceless. You're the only ones that can bring forth the next generation. I'm sure that it'd be no doubt that there'd be scientists right now with some weird funding trying to prove that wrong. But I can guarantee you right now, the only person that will bring forth the next generation is a mama. In saying that, I know the enemy knows that and will always attack the mums, because if you can attack the mum, he attacks the next generation. You can listen to last week's message. But mums, we want to honour you as a church. We want to honour you as a family. And we want to say, I'm sorry at times if we haven't valued you. And even there's people here, you might go, well, I don't feel valued all the time here. Well, I want to let you know, God values you. God does. And he hasn't forgotten. And it's not going to go past him. There's so many times I've missed things, but I tell you what, there's so many times I'm missing a piece. I'm missing a page here, but that's all right. There's so many times when the pastor has failed to see, and they should have got given the pastor's award that week. And there's so many times when we forget to thank person. We forget birthdays. We forget anniversaries. We forget great events. And humans are like that, but I promise you one thing, God won't, and he sees these things. And then finally, and then I'm going to just read a beautiful passage of scripture over you, is one, he sees everything, he's watching you. Secondly, he values things differently. You know what? He values your life differently to the way the world does. You know, it's really just the day and age. I'm not necessarily saying I'm against this, but so many people now are valued by their career or how many extra letters they've got at the end of their name. You know, bachelor of this. We're valued by these things. We're valued, like I said, by, do you live in Lyons? I wish I lived in Lyons sometimes. Do you live in Muirhead? Do you live in Karama? I mean, they just, people value these things, the top 100 suburbs and this and that, and you're great if you live here. And it's like, you know what? I really don't think God looks down on any of us and goes, what suburb do you live in? I don't think he's going, what brand shirt's that? Where'd you get that? Is that from Bali? Is that real? I don't think he cares about those things. He cares about the things often that we don't even see. Yes? Finally, Jesus loves those. Looking at that passage, the lady, she puts all in. Jesus loves those who go all in. The widow goes all in. There's no turning back. She can't even grab change, more than likely. There's probably no one else that's put anything like that in the offering. She can't pull out change. But now, this widow is remembered for eternity. In fact, I mean, it's possible when we get to heaven, there'll be a lady there. And we go, who are you? I'm the widow. And you'll feel obliged to give her an offering. But the truth of the matter is, she is now honored in the Word of God for the rest of her life, for the rest of generations. We don't know whose line. We don't know if she had kids. We know she had a husband. But what we do know is this lady is now honored for the rest through time. But she went all in. And I'll tell you one thing I've observed about mums, and I can only speak of my own mum and my wife, is mums tend to always go all in with their life. And I want to challenge you, you get one chance. Mums, you get one chance at this life. You got one chance at raising the next generation. Go all in. You got one chance. We don't get another crack at this. Leave nothing behind. I know my mum, I can't wait to call her and Skype her. And most of the time she just wants to talk to the grandkids anyway. But I just know, I can't wait to just say, Mum, thank you. Thank you. You laid down so much for me. just to say, Mom, you laid down your life for me. You really did. You sacrificed so much so that myself and my brother could live life. I too pray that all of us will live a life that's all in. That when we look back, we'll go, I spent it all on him. I'm not a gambler. I was in Vegas, and you just had to look at the condition of the casino's house to know who was winning. It was a really silly bet, to be honest. But there's a beautiful gamble when we give our entire lives to him. I guarantee you win. It's not a gamble. There's a man that I admire. I haven't read too much about him, but I know enough about him, but his name's John Wesley. And I just want to read a tiny little paragraph about his life. It says, in his lifetime, John Wesley had accomplished what few others have. He died the most well-loved man in England, beginning at 36. I'm 34 now. As an itinerant preacher, he traveled 250,000 miles on horseback. Yeah, poor horse. Poor horses. Poor stable. And preach more than 40,000 sermons to crowds as large as 20,000. In fact, I've read a bit about this. He says there's a beautiful story. He rocks up to a field and preaches. Five people showed up. Goes back at noon, preaches. Five people showed up. Goes the next day, five people showed up. Goes the next day, 20,000 showed up. But listen to this. He preached more than 40,000 messages. He regularly preached three times a day, often beginning at 5 a.m. At the time of his death, there were 79,000 Methodists in England and 40,000 in America. This is what he left behind. One well-worn coat, two silver teaspoons, and the Methodist Church. And I know mums especially live this. They live their life for their kids. They lay down their life. And I want to challenge us as well as the church. Lay down your life. Leave nothing behind. I don't mean inheritance. I think that's great. In fact, it's in the Bible about inheritance. But your life, spend it on the things of God. Spend it on him. Put him first. Lay down your life. So I want to finish by this. I want to read a very well-known passage. But I want this to be a little different, especially for the ladies here, especially for the mums. I don't want to just read this passage. I want to declare this passage over you. I want to speak this over you. And I want to read Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 through to 31. And I want you to just receive this. And if you're a man or a husband, I want you to receive this and say, I'm going to make sure, I'm going to let my wife, let my mother be this. Allow her. Release her. Do not restrict her. Do not box her in, but allow her. So let me read this over you. Proverbs 31, verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with her eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable. And her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, not in Darwin, but when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gates, where he takes his seat among the elders. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Honor her for all that her hands have done,